Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, Sustainer and Creator of all things in existence. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafi khalqillahi ajma'in. And may Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most noble of His entire creation, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, our Prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and likewise the entire body of his family and companions. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, then on this evening, preceding the 13th day of the month of Jumada al-Ula, the fifth month of the Islamic calendar, in the year 1437, representing 1437 years since the hijrah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Mecca to the city of Al-Madinah, we begin seeking the assistance of Allahu Ta'ala as we have returned here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to study some verses from the magnificent book of Allah, the Most High and Exalted, from Surah Qaf. And this evening, insha'Allahu ta'ala, our scope is to study the 9th through 12th verses of that tremendous surah. And we'll, of course, as is our custom, take as a guide, by the permission of Allah, the knowledge-based tafsir of the great scholar, Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. May Allah have an abundance of mercy upon him. We begin on page 80 this evening of the printed tafsir, that which is printed by his charitable foundation. And we are in the PDF, if you're following along with the companion, with this course, the companion PDF. We are on Al-Halqa Al-Thalitha. Al-Halqa Al-Thalitha, the third session. Allah Ta'ala says, وَنَزَّلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً مُبَارَكًا. And we have sent down from above, from as-sumu, from as-sama, everything that is above you is as-sama, from the heavens, مَاءً مُبَارَكًا, blessed water. فَأَنْبَتْنَا بِهِ جَنَّاتٍ وَحَبَّ الْحَصِيدِ. And we have brought forth from it vegetation, the vegetation of gardens and the grains that bring forth harvest. Hab al-Hasid. Al-Allama, the great scholar, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he says, يَقُولُ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ, Allah, the Mighty and Most High, has said here, وَنَزَّلْنَا, and we have sent down. Now the word nazzalna, he's focusing on the difference between nazzala and anzala. While they both come from a nuzul, from the same three-letter verbal base, nun, zay, and lam. But he's saying nazzalna here specifically, li'anna al-matar, because rain, yanzilu shay'an fashay'a, rain comes down in succession, little by little, some after the next. It doesn't come down jumlatan wahida. It doesn't come down all in one pour and then that's the end of it. But rather it is a process, beginning with a small amount of rain and then picking up and lasting some time. So it comes in rapid succession, which is more appropriate to use the word nazzalna. In the Arabic language, the difference between nazzalna and anzalna is that nazzalna indicates a tanjim, munajjaman, any piece by piece, over and over again, repetition. Versus anzalna, jumlatan wahida, we sent it down. Like the scholars, they say about inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, that Allah Ta'ala sent down the Quran in one night, meaning jumlatan wahida, from Allah al-Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah, from the preserved tablet down to the house, which is the house of honor, one of the houses in the heavens, that is above the Kaaba on this planet. So then the Qur'an was revealed, all of it in entirety in one night. And then Allah Ta'ala has used the word at-tanzeel, tanzeelun, that it is a tanzeel from nazzala to refer to its revelation piece by piece over 23 years, over the lifetime and mission of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's saying nazzalna because the matar, the rain, comes down piece by piece or part by part. وَرُبَّمَا يُعَبِّرُ عَنْهُ بِأَنْزَلَ لِأَنَّهُ تَجِيءُ بِهِ الْأَوْدِيَةَ وَالشِّعَامُ. And there are times when Allah Ta'ala refers to the rain with the verb anzala, which would mean in one instance or in one sending, because it fills up the valleys and pathways all at once sometimes. وَقَوْلُهُ, and his statement, مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, from the sama. The first and most obvious meaning of as-sama is the sky or the heavens above you. Ay min al-ulu. He says here that this comes from al-ulu, up high. لِأَنَّ هَذَا الْمَطَرُ, that's because this rain, يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّحَابِ, it comes from clouds. وَلَيْسَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, it doesn't come from the loftier heavens. He's referring here to the sama that is above the clouds. So he's saying it doesn't come from the sama that is above the clouds, but rather it comes from the clouds themselves. التي هي السقف المحفوظ, that which is for this realm a preserving rooftop. The sky, the highest of heavens, is as a rooftop to our sky. بدليل, and the evidence he says for this understanding is قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, the statement of Allah the Most High, وَالسَّحَابِ الْمُسَخَّرِ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and the sahab, the clouds that are musakhar, that are put into place between the sama, between the sky and the ard, and between the earth. So between those two places. So Allah Ta'ala has described clouds being placed where? Between the sama and the earth. So then therefore the sama is above the clouds. Even if we were to say in the Arabic language, كُلُّ مَا عَلَاكَ فَهُوَ سَمَاءٌ, everything that is above you, everything that is up, is considered in the Arabic language a sama. So the clouds are a sama, and the shams, the sun, is a sama, and the moon is a sama. Everything above you is sama. And it means whatever has sumu, whatever has loftiness. إذن هُوَ يَنْزِلُ مِنَ الْعُلُوُ, then this rain comes down from the high places. وَالْحِكْمَةُ فِي إِنْذَالِهِ مِنَ الْعُلُوُ, the wisdom behind sending down the rain from these high places. لِيَشْمَلَ قِمَامَ الْجِبَالِ, so that the tops of the mountains could also take a share of this rain. وَمَرَاتِعَ الْإِبِلِ, and the places up high where the camels rest and the camels graze. وَالسَّهَلْ وَالْأَوْدِيَ, flat lands and valleys. لِأَنَّهُ لَوْ جَاءَ يَمْشِي سَيْحًا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ مَا وَصَلَ إِلَىٰ قِمَمِ الْجِبَالِ, if the water came from the ground, just pouring forth from the ground, then you would find that water would not reach the higher areas, the tops of the mountains. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ جَعَلَهُ مِنْ فَوْقٍ, however, Allah the Mighty and Majestic has made it come from above. وَقَوْلُهُ مَاءً مُبَارَكًا, and his statement, water that is blessed. مُبَارَكًا مِنْ بَارَكَتِهِ, from the blessing of that water. أَنَّهُ يُنْبِتُ اللَّهُ بِهِ, add the name of Allah right there in your nuskha. أَنَّهُ يُنْبِتُ اللَّهُ بِهِ, that from the blessing of that water is that Allah brings forth vegetation from that water. That vegetation is jannatin, gardens, وَحَبِّ الْحَصِيدِ, and grains that produce vegetation or harvests. الْجَنَّاتُ, the word jannat, the plural of jannah, gardens, هِيَ الْبَسَاطِينُ الْكَثِيرَةُ الْأَشْجَارِ, they are gardens that have many, many trees. وسميت البساتين الكثيرة الأشجار جنات, and gardens with many trees have been called جنات. Linguistically, جنات, why have they been called جنات? Because of the word جنة, لأنها تجن أي تستر ما تحتها. The trees protect and cover or shroud what is inside. So then there's a حديقة, a garden. If that حديقة is surrounded by trees and full of trees that protect the view of what is inside, then it's called a جنة. It's called a جنة. وكل بستان ذو شجر ملتف بعضه إلى بعض يسمى جنة. Every garden that has trees that reach each other and wrap around each other, or the branches reach each other and intertwine, that is called a جنة, because of the screen created from the trees acting as a screen that protects the view of what is inside. The مادة جيم نون نون, it has to do with the unseen. So there's a creation called the jinn. They're unseen. There's a weapon on the battlefield that you put on your arm called a junna. What does it do? It shields you and makes you unavailable for attack. Not, out in the open for attack. So it keeps you unseen, keeps you hidden. So the difference between a hadiqa and a jannah is that the garden that is in a jannah is screened by trees. Right? So you can't see inside of the garden. What else do we have from that? Janin. Aywa ahsant. The janin. The janin is what? A baby in the stomach of the mother, the unborn baby. Can you see it? No, it's a janin. It's unseen, it's not been born yet. Allahumma zid wa barik. Wa amma qawluhu wa habba al-hasid. As for the statement of Allah, and also Allah brings forth habba al-hasid, the grain that brings forth a harvest. يعني به الزروع التي تحصد. That it brings forth vegetation that are able to be harvested at harvest time. فَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ هُنَا الْأَشْجَارَ وَالزُّرُوعَ. Allah mentioned here trees and zuru, harvests, agriculture. فَمِنَ الْأَشْجَارِ تُجَدُّ الثِّمَارِ. From the trees come thimar, fruits, over and over again. متجددة, being renewed all of the time. You take the apples off of the apple tree, what happens? More of them grow. Right? وَمِنَ الزُّرُوعِ تُحْصَدُ الْحُبُوبِ. And from the vegetation, right, from the agriculture comes the grains that will be used for the next batch or the next, the next generation of vegetation. وَالنَّخْلَ بَاسِقَاطٍ لَهَا طَلْعٌ نَضِيدٌ. And date palm trees, النَّخْل, بَاسِقَاطٍ, عَالِيَات, high up, lofty in their height. لَهَا طَلْعٌ نَضِيدٌ. They have a sprout, like a seed sprout that comes in a row, like a braid almost. The seeds at the time of germination, these seeds, they come in like a big long row, protected by some leaves. We're going to talk about that in some detail here. خَصَّ اللَّهُ النَّخْلَ. Allah mentioned here specifically out of all vegetation, the date palm tree specifically. لِأَنَّهَا أَشْرَفُ الْأَشْجَارِ. Because it is the most virtuous out of all trees. وَلِهَذَا شُبِّهَ بِهَا الْمُؤْمِنُ. And based on that, a parable has been set forth by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he related that the date palm tree is similar to the believer, or this tree is similar to the believer. حَيْثُ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. When the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and that of his family and grant them peace, said, إِنَّ مِنَ الشَّجَرِ شَجَرًا مَثَلُهَا مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. From amongst the trees, there is one tree that has a likeness of a believer. قال ابن عمر, Ibn Umar said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. فَذَهَبَ النَّاسُ يَخُوضُونَ فِي شَجَرِ الْبَوَادِي. So the people went off mentioning different types of trees that are found in the Bedouin areas. كُلٌّ يَقُولُ هِيَ الشَّجِرَةُ الْفُلَانِيَّةِ. Each person saying, it's such and such tree. يقول ابن عمر, Ibn Umar then said, فَوَقَعَ فِي قَلْبِي أَنَّهَا النَّخْلَةِ. It came to my heart. Notice he didn't say it came to my brain. He said it came to my heart. He was trying to think of it, and he said it came to my heart that it was the, what? The نخلة, the date palm tree. لَكِنِّي كُنْتُ أَصْغَرَ الْقَوْمِ. But I was the youngest of the people in that city. يعني فاستحيا أن يتكلم وهو أصغرهم. He was bashful to speak while he was the youngest out of everyone there. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said, هي النخلة. It is the date palm tree. And that hadith was collected by both Imams al-Bukhari and Muslim in their two sahih compilations of hadith. وَهِيَ الشَّجَرَةُ الْمَذْكُورَةُ فِي قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And this date palm tree is the one mentioned in the statement of Allah, the Most High, مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. The example, the parable of a good word is like that of a good, solid, wholesome tree. Its root, what lies under it, its root, its origin is firmly fixed. And its branches and its top parts go high up into the sky. That's from Surah Ibrahim, the 24th verse. وَلِهَذَا خَصَّهَا هُنَا بِالذِّكْرِ. And thus it has been mentioned specifically here in this case. فَقَالَ وَالنَّخْلَ بَاسِقَاتٍ. And date palm trees, high and lofty. بَاسِقَات أي عَالِيَات. Up high, lofty trees. لَهَا طَلْعٌ نَضِيدٌ. Having what? Seeds that are for germination, that are lined up in a row. The Shaykh says, أي مَنْضُود. مَنْضُود means lined up. Not lined up one directly after the other, but lined up in kind of like a braided pattern, where there's some alternation. Not mustaffa, not perfectly one after the next, but some kind of pattern that's there. They're lined up, but not perfectly one after the next, right? Like a braid. You've seen like hair braided. It has a weaving type of form to it, right? And it's very organized and very connected one after the next, but not in blocks one after the next. There is some intertwining going on like that. The Shaykh says, فَالطَّلْعُ فِي شَمَارِيخِهِ. So the seeds that are to be germinated from the date palm tree in its شَمَارِيخ. The شَمَارِيخ are like the larger leaves that act as a pouch to cover up the string of these seeds that are ready to be germinated. تَجِدُهُ مَنْضُودًا مِنْ أَحْسَنِ مَا يَكُونَ النَّضَدْ. You find it lined up like this, or braided, or lined up in this fashion, in the very best way that things can be lined up like that. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ تَجِدُ هَذِهِ الثَّمَرَاتِ تُسْقَى بِالشِّمْرَاخِ الدَّقِيقِ اللَّيِّنِ. You find that it gets its water from one tiny little vein that provides the water from the base of the tree for all of these seeds to be germinated. And it is soft and it is skinny. مَعَ أَنَّهُ قَدْ يَكُونُ فِيهِ أَحْيَانًا فَوْقَ ثَلَاثِينَ حَبَّةً أَوْ أَكْثَرُ. While with this tiny little vein that would come with the water from the tree, there may be 30 some seeds. Each one would be an entire separate tree if it successfully develops. All of that coming from one tiny place on the date palm tree. رِزْقًا لِلْعِبَادِ. Provisions for the servants. أي فعلنا ذلك. The meaning of this is that Allah has done this and Allah has set this into place as what? Provisions. أنزلنا من السماء ماء. We have sent down from the heavens water. فأنبتنا به جنات وحب الحصيد. And we have brought forth vegetation of gardens and seeds for harvest. والنخل باسقات. And date palm trees high in the sky. فَعَلْنَا ذَٰلِكَ رِزْقًا لِلْعِبَادِ. We did that so that that would be provisions for the servants. أي عطاءً وفضلاً للعباد, as a benevolent gift and a bounty given to the servants. والعباد هنا, the word عباد, servants, the plural of عبد, هنا يشمل العباد المؤمنين. This includes the believing servants, والعباد الكافرين, and the disbelieving servants. Some people say, wait a minute, is a non-Muslim to be referred to as Abdullah, as a servant of Allah, in reality, in a general way? Yes, as we're going to see from a verse in Surah Maryam. لِأَنَّ الْكَافِرَ, because a non-Muslim is Abdullah, he's a servant of Allah, كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, as Allah the Most High has said in Surah Maryam, the 93rd verse, إِن كُلُّ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَانِ عَبْدًا, every single being in the heavens and on earth, it doesn't exist except that it comes to Ar-Rahman as an abd. It comes to the most gracious Allah as an abd in servitude. وَالْمُرَادُ هُنَا, and the intended meaning of servitude here, being a servant, is الْعُبُودِيَّةُ الْكَوْنِيَّةُ الْقَدَرِيَّةُ, the servitude that is overtaking everything within the creation of Allah. That Allah is the owner, the possessor, who interacts with the creation however He sees fit, and no one is outside of that. So from that angle of dominance and power, every person, whether he submits and tries to fulfill his role as a servant or not, he is a servant whether he likes it or not. وَأَمَّا الْعُبُودِيَّةُ الشَّرْعِيَّةُ, as for servitude that relates to the Islamically legislated rulings, فَلَا يَكُونُ عَبْدًا لِلَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ مُمْتَثِلًا لِأَمْرِهِ, then no one is to be referred to by this understanding of the word Abdullah. No one is to be called a servant of Allah except someone who submits and fulfills the orders of Allah, مُجْتَنِبًا لِنَهْيِهِ, and someone who stays away from the prohibitions, مُصَدِّقًا بِخَبَرِهِ, and someone who believes in the reports of Allah Ta'ala. And just as a side point of benefit there, the status of being an abd is not a lowly status. A slave servant of Allah, if you are a slave servant of Allah Ta'ala, then you are high in rank. And think about how our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the night journey, Laylatul Isra'i wal Mi'raj, he ascended to the highest lofty place that he had ever ascended to. Allah honored him with that ascension. And Allah referred to him at that state of him being the highest and most loftiest position in this lifetime. Allah said, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan. Glorified, exalted be Allah, the one who took his servant by night, his abd, his slave servant. So as our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended to heights that not even Jibreel could ascend to, not even the angel Gabriel could ascend to those heights, at that status, at that time, he was referred to as an abd. He was referred to as the slave servant of Allah. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَحْيَيْنَا بِهِ بَلْدَةً مَيْتًا, and we have brought forth from it, from the rain that was sent down, the life of a dead city, or brought back to life a deadened city, a city that had died. أَحْيَيْنَا بِالْمَاءِ الَّذِي نُنَزِّلُهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ بَلْدَةً مَيْتًا, we brought back to life with water that we have sent down from the heavens a city that was dead. بَلْدَةً, the word بَلْدَة means a city, like بَلَد, a city, a town, a village. لَمَّا كَانَتْ مُؤَنَّثَةَ اللَّفَظِ, it's feminine in its wording. بَلْدَةً, it has a ta marbuta, which is a sign of being feminine in the Arabic language. مُذَكَّرَةَ الْمَعْنَى, while it has a masculine meaning. صَحَّ أَن تُوصَفَ بِوَصْفٍ مُذَكَّرٍ, thus it is correct in the Arabic language to be described with a masculine description. In Arabic, descriptions have to match the masculinity or femininity of their nouns. Adjectives match nouns in femininity and masculinity, as well as in number. Mufrad, Muthanna, Yani Jama', as well as what? At-ta'rifu wa-tankir. Al-qamar, al-jamil. Or let's say, as-sayaratu, al-jamila. Sayara is feminine. So if you want to give it a description, you have to use the term marbuta jamila. And it's one, so you can't say as-sayaratu, al-jamilatu, the car. And then the description of the car is a bunch of beautiful cars. No, one beautiful car. Then as-sayaratu, you can't say as-sayaratu jamilatun, because now it becomes a mubtada and a khabar. It's no longer a description. It must match ta'rif and tankir, being definite or indefinite. As-sayaratu al-jamilatu, if it's going to be a noun with an adjective. These are all things that are very highly incompatible with English. I mentioned to you sometimes when we have a parallel where English is close to an Arabic concept. Here, basically all new rules. When you're going to learn about nouns and adjectives in Arabic, they're not in the same order. The rules are all different. It is nothing like English adjectives and nouns. The book is red. The car is red. The man is red. The shirt is red. The word red is just a generic adjective to describe any noun. However, in Arabic, the adjectives themselves change and they're altered to match the nouns that they describe. And it's a bit of work and a bit of learning that takes place before a person can do that accurately. And it's one of the things that non-Arabs typically continue making mistakes in long after they've gone pretty far into Arabic. As sifa wal mawsuf. It's something that is always on the mind of the non-Arab when he's speaking or trying to use his language. It is not something very easy for him to match up his nouns and adjectives properly. So then he says, the reason why balda is feminine and mate is masculine, that the meaning of the word is masculine, and it's okay to say maytan and not maytatan. And he says, ay baladun mayit. The meaning of this is a town that had passed away. Ahyahu bihada al-ma'i alladhi nazala min as-sama'. Allah had brought it back to life with water that had been sent down from the heavens. تَجِدُ الْأَرْضَ هَامِدَةً خَاشِعَةً لَيْسَ فِيهَا نَبَاتٍ. You find the ground will be barren, dry, and no life upon it. Especially now we have this sign in front of us in the winter time. You find the fertile soil in the winter time that's barren, no flowers, nothing on it. It's dead, nothing coming forth in the middle of the winter. فَإِذَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ الْمَطَرُ. And once the rain comes down, look at springtime here in the west. When rain comes down upon it, when Allah sends down rain upon it, عَجَّتْ بِالنَّبَاتِ. It produces life of what? Of vegetation. وَاخْضَرَّتْ وَازْدَهَرَتْ. And it turns green and it becomes full of flowers. Colorful flowers. فَهَذِهِ حَيَاتٌ. بعد الموت. This is life after death. كذلك الخروج. Then Allah Ta'ala says, and just like that is الخروج. الخروج. The coming forth of mankind out of his grave after he has died. To be resurrected and brought back to Allah Ta'ala for judgment. Just as you see within the creation, signs of resurrection every year or often, then you will be brought back to life. أي مثل ذلك الإحياء. Then just like that, coming to life or being brought back to life is الخروج. الخروج, the exit, or the exodus, you could say. خروج الناس من قبورهم لله عز وجل. The people exiting from their graves and coming forth to Allah, the mighty and majestic. وإنما ذكر الله تعالى الخروج. And Allah mentions specifically here, the khuruj, the exit, or the coming out of the grave specifically. Meaning He didn't say hashar, or ba'ath, or bi'tha, or ruju', return, or resurrection, or coming back to life. But rather the word khuruj, the exit of the grave, the exit from the grave. is being used here, لِأَنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ مَنْ أَنْكَرَ ذَلِكَ, because there are people from the servants of Allah that reject this concept. From which servants of Allah? The believing servants of Allah or the disbelieving servants of Allah? The disbelieving servants of Allah. As Allah mentions, زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنْ لَنْ يُبْعَثُوا. The people of disbelief have wrongly assumed that they shall not be brought forth or dispatched after their death. وَحُجَّتُهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. Their only proof for this is to say, who is going to bring back bones to life and they're scattered? Bones that are scattered, how are they going to be brought back to life? مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ بَعْدَ أَنْ أَرَمَّتْ وَصَارَتْ تُرَابًا. Who's going to bring back the bones to life after they are scattered and they have become dirt themselves, part of the dirt? هَذَا مُسْتَنْكِرٌ عِنْدَهُمْ بَعِيدٌ. This is something to be rejected with such people. They consider it to be something munkar, something unacceptable and ba'id, and very difficult to accept. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. However, Allah, the Exalted and Most High, بَيَّنَ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِبَعِيدٍ. He has clarified that it is not something far off. It's not something difficult. وَأَنَّهُمْ كَمَا يُشَاهِدُونَ الْأَرْضَ الْمَيْتَةَ. And he clarified that just as they see the land that has died, ينزل عليها المطر فتحيا, rain comes down on that dead ground and it comes to life, إذن فالقادر على إحياء الأرض, then the one who's capable of bringing back to life the ground or the earth, بعد موتها, after it had died, بنزول المطر, by sending down rain, قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ إِحْيَاءِ الْأَمْوَاتِ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِمْ. He is also capable, fully capable of bringing back the dead after their lives have ended. وَهَذَا قِيَاسٌ جَلِيٌّ وَاضِحٌ. And this is a kind of analogy that is very clear and obvious. كَذَلِكَ الْخُرُوجِ. And just like that is the خُرُوج, the coming from the graves. كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ وَأَصْحَابُ الرَّسِّ وَثَمُودِ. Now Allah mentions here certain civilizations that rejected their messengers as lessons for us to learn. The people of Noah, the people of Ar-Ras, and we'll explain what Ar-Ras is, and the civilization of Thamud. وَعَادٌ وَفِرْعَوْنُ وَإِخْوَانُ لُوطٌ. And also the civilization of Ad, the people of Pharaoh, Fir'aun, and the brothers of Lut, meaning the people of the Prophet Lut. وَأَصْحَابُ الْأَيْكَةِ وَقَوْمُ تُبَّعُ. And the people of Al-Aykah, and we'll explain that, and the people of Tubba', and we'll explain that, insha'Allah ta'ala. ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ لِفَائِدَتَيْنِ. Allah mentioned these specific disbelievers for two main benefits. الفائدة الأولى, the first benefit, تسلية الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, to sort of give support to the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. بأنه ليس أول رسول كذب, so that he would know that he's not the first messenger to ever be disbelieved in. بَلْ قَدْ كُذِّبَتِ الرُّسُلُ مِنْ قَبْلُ. Rather, the case is that the messengers of old had been rejected as well. كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, just as Allah the Most High has said, مَا يُقَالُ لَكَ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ قِيلَ لِلرُّسُلِ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Nothing is being said to you, O Muhammad, except the same things that had been said to the messengers before you. That's from Surah Fussilat, the 43rd verse. قِيلَ إِنَّهُ شَاعِرٌ. It was said about Muhammad, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, that he was a poet, meaning he was maligned and spoken ill of, criticized falsely, with the book of Allah Ta'ala that he brought, saying he was a شَاعِر, he was a poet. قِيلَ إِنَّهُ مَجْنُونَ. It was also said about him that he was insane. قِيلَ إِنَّهُ كَاهِنَ. It was also said that he was a soothsayer. وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And Allah, the Most High, has surely said, كَذَلِكَ مَا أَتَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبَلِهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا قَالُوا سَاحِرٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونَ. And likewise, there was no prophet that came to the people before them, these accusers, except that they also said about that prophet of old, سَاحِرٌ, he's a magician, أَوْ مَجْنُونَ, or he is insane. The 43rd verse of Surah الذاريات. هذه فائدة لذكر قصص الأمم السابقة. This is the benefit of mentioning the stories, the accounts of the previous nations. وهي تسلية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is giving support to, consoling, providing some warmth and support to the Prophet. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. لأن الإنسان, because a person, إذا رأى غيره قد أصيب بمثل مصيبته, if he sees that other people had faced trials that are similar to the trials that he is facing, يتسلى بلا شك, he takes comfort in that, بلا شك, no doubt. وتهون عليه المصيبة, and the trial or the calamity that he is facing becomes easier for him to handle when he knows that other people have went through what he has gone through. You hear that from people with good advice, right? If you're going through a difficult thing, someone may remind you and say, other people have gone through more difficult things or similar things. And that makes you feel like, okay, I'm not the first one, I'm not the only one to be tried like that. But rather, this is the case of people. They are tried with these kinds of things and they face losses and they face calamities. And I'm not the first. I'm not the only one. It said to a new Muslim that he finds a challenge in giving up something. He finds an issue that's not allowed in Islam. Right? And it's a challenge for him because his entire life has been, that's perfectly fine. And he comes to an issue and it's difficult. What can we say to him? You're not the first person to draw near to Allah by giving up something you're used to. But rather every single person who's a Muslim and he submits to Allah, he does exactly that. There are certain things that he personally likes, that he personally leans towards, that he personally craves and has a whim in favor of it, that he gives it up for the sake of Allah. We're not the first and we're not the last, insha'Allah ta'ala. So that's the case of every servant. Sometimes people come and they think, I have committed sins and I'm a very filthy individual and I'm overwhelmed with sin and I need to repent and I wish, you know, that people understood how much I'm feeling the weight of my sins. What do we say to such a person? You are just like everybody else in this place. You are just like me and just like all of our brothers here. We are all stumbling about in this life, hoping to recover from the effects of our sins, hoping to recover with repentance and rectification. That's what everyone here is doing. You're not the one that's sinning. And we're the ones who are pious. You are a sinner, just like your brothers are sinners. And you are trying to rectify yourself. And you face guilt and shame regarding what you have done, as your brothers are facing the same kinds of guilt and shame and the need to rectify and to repent and repair and to move on. May Allah Ta'ala give us success. So the first benefit is that when you're told that other people have gone through this, it makes you feel a little bit better about the trial you're facing. Al-fa'idatu al-thaniya, the second benefit in mentioning that the previous prophets rejected their messengers. At-tahriru li-mukadhibi ar-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A warning against those who would reject the messenger. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ فِي آخِرِ مَا ذَكَرْ. And thus Allah said in the end of the mention of all of the civilizations that rejected their messengers, كُلٌّ كَذَّبَ الرُّسُلَ فَحَقَّ وَعِيدٌ. Each and every one of those civilizations rejected the messengers, and so my threat of punishment took place upon them. That's the 14th verse And it's outside of our scope for this evening to study that verse, but it will come in our next class. فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهِمْ وَعِيدُ اللَّهِ So the threat of punishment from Allah took place upon them. مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَمْ From these previous nations mentioned. جُوزِيَ بِمِثْلِ ذَنْ بِهِ فَعُوقِبَ بِمِثْلِ ذَنْ بِهِ They were recompensed with the likes of the sins of this ummah, the sins of this people, and they face the punishment of the likes, the same kinds of behavior that these people are engaged in. Then Allah Ta'ala says, كَذَّبَتْ قَبَلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ The people of Noah, they rejected before them. Before the people of Mecca rejected you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people of Noah rejected their messenger. وَقَدْ لَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا Noah had lived amongst his people for 1,000 years, save 50. يعني, and that means 950 years. وَهُوَ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ And he was the entire time calling them to Allah, meaning to the worship of Allah, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, mighty and majestic. وَلَكِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَفِيدُوا مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ شَيْئًا However, they did not get any benefit from that entire call. كُلَّمَا دَعَاهُمْ لِيَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ Every time he invited them to gain the forgiveness of Allah, جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ They would place their fingers in their ears. وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ They would cover up themselves with their garments. تغطوا, covering themselves up so as not to see or hear. وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا إِسْتِكْبَارًا And they would continue on and be arrogant with an extreme form of arrogance. That's the 7th verse from Surah Nuh. وَبَقِيَ فِيهِمْ هَذِهِ الْمُدَّةِ And he remained with them all of that time, 950 years. وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي النِّهَايَةِ And Allah said, At the end of all of that, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ And no one believed along with him, meaning believed in his message and stood with him, except for very few. وَأَصْحَابُ الرَّسِ And the people of الرَّسِ What is that? قَوْمٌ جَاءَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ A people who their prophet came to them, وَلَكِنَّهُمْ قَتَلُوهُ بِالرَّسِ However, they killed him with a ras. What's a ras? It's a bi'r, a well. They threw him in the well. وَهُوَ الْبِئْرُ It is a well. أَيْ حَفَرُوا بِئْرًا وَدَفَنُوهُ They dug out a well and they buried him in the well. هَذَا قَوْلٌ This is one of the opinions held by the scholars of tafsir about the meaning of أَصْحَابُ الرَّسِ They're called the companions of the well because of their crime, according to this position. وَالْقَوْلُ الثَّانِي And the other statement, أَصْحَابُ الرَّسِ That the companions of الرَّسِ أَيْ أَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ حَوْلَ مَاءٍ They are people who lived around water. وَلَيْسُوا بِالْكَثْرَةِ الْكَاثِرَةِ And they weren't great in number. It says in the text there, الْكَافِيَةِ That's not correct, huh? What's correct from the words of the Shaykh is وَلَيْسُوا بِالْكَثْرَةِ الْكَافِرَةِ They weren't very high in number, very great in number. They were a very small number of people. وَمَعَ هَذَا And along with their small number, كَذَّبُوا رَسُولَهُمْ They rejected their messenger. What's the point here? That if it's a large mass of following, then you can expect a great number of disbelievers. But when it's a small number of people, and a messenger is sent to a small number of people, you would expect they have more time to ask questions, to follow up with him, to have their doubts handled, to have their points of confusion addressed, and all of that, because they are small in number. So then it is either the case that they are the people who had a prophet and buried him in a well, meaning out of aggression and opposition to his message, which is nothing new for Bani Israel. Or the second opinion, that they were people who lived around water, and that's why they're called Ar-Ras, something to do with the water source. And they were small in number, and they of course rejected their messenger as well. وَثَمُودُ And Thamud, the civilization of Thamud. Who's the Prophet sent to Thamud? Salih. وَهُمْ قَوْمُ صَالِحِ And they are the people of the Prophet Salih. فِي بِلَادِ الْحِجَرِ الْمَعْرُوفَ In the place called Al-Hijr. Anyone know where Al-Hijr is? You know it? Yemen? No. North. مَدَائِن صَالِح It's called in modern day geography مَدَائِنُ صَالِح It's close to Jordan. So on the way to Jordan from Medina, it's in Saudi Arabia. It's not outside of Saudi Arabia. It's northwest of Medina by about the same distance, about 3.5 hours by car. Before Tabuk. Ahsan, tabarakallahu fiik. About halfway to Tabuk. From Medina to Tabuk. Tabuk is northwest from Medina, right? And that's along the Red Sea. It's Khalij. Where Jeddah, Mecca, Medina, all of these cities on the western coast of modern day Saudi Arabia. So it's northwest of Al-Medina. And before you would get all the way to Tabuk, Tabuk is one of the last places north in Saudi Arabia, one of the last major cities that way. So the people of Salih, they're the people who lived in that place, which is well known, classically called Al-Hijr, today called Madainu Salih. The civilization area of the Prophet Salih, right? It's a place of punishment. كَذَّبُوا صَالِحًا They rejected Salih, the Prophet Salih. وَقَالُوا And they said, ائْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ They said to the Prophet Salih, bring us what you are threatening us with. Bring us this punishment that you are warning us against. If you are indeed from those dispatched as a messenger, from the Mursaleen, if you are indeed from them. That's from Surah Al-A'raf, the 77th verse. وَهَذَا تَحَدٍ This is a challenge. وَهَذَا تَحَدٍ Not تَحَدٌ تَحَدٍ This is a challenge. A challenge issued. فَأَرْسَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ صَيْحَةً فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ Allah Ta'ala sent upon them one loud sound, and after it they remained in their houses as corpses. They were laid out in their houses as dead bodies, as corpses. وَعَادٌ And the civilization of Ad. Who was sent to them? Hud, أَحْسَنْتُمْ Hud, the Prophet Hud was sent to the nation or the civilization of Ad. And also Ad, كَذَلِكَ أَيْضًا عَادٌ عَادْ أَرْسَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ هُودًا And similarly, Allah had sent to the civilization of Ad, the Prophet Hud. فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَهْلَكَهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ So they rejected him, and Allah destroyed them, and he is the mighty and majestic. بِالرِّيحِ الْعَقِيمِ With a wind, a barren wind. Having no rain or having nothing with it, just a wind. مَا تَذَرُ مِن شَيْءٍ أَتَتْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا جَعَلَتْهُ كَالرَّمِيمِ It didn't come across anything, this wind, except that it left it like scattered bones. A wind of destruction. May Allah Ta'ala give us safety. From Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَكَانُوا يَفْتَخِرُونَ بِقُوَّتِهِمْ And this was a civilization that used to brag about their might, their strength. وَيَقُولُونَ And they would say, مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً Who could be stronger than us? Who is mightier than us? This is how they were speaking about themselves. From Surah Fussilat, the 15th verse. فَأَرَاهُمَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ So Allah showed them, and He is the mighty and majestic. قُوَّتَهُ Showed them His power, His strength, His might. وَأَهْلَكَهُمْ بِالرِّيحِ اللَّطِيفَةِ He destroyed them by a subtle or gentle wind. أَلَّتِي لَا يُرَى لَهَا جِسْمٌ The wind that you see no physical embodiment of anything. You can't even see it. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ دَمَّرَتْهُمْ تَدْمِيرًا That there's no body to even see. meaning no cloud, no rain, that you could see a form of a cloud or a storm, like tornadoes and hurricanes, you can see something. This was a wind that had no presence at all, except the movement of the air. And it destroyed them in totality. Wreaked havoc upon them, destroying them entirely. وفرعون, and the civilization of Fir'aun, Pharaoh. الذي أرسل الله إليه نبيه موسى عليه السلام, the one that he sent his prophet Moses, Musa, to. Upon him be peace. وفرعون كان معروفا بالجبروت والعناد والاستكبار. And Pharaoh was someone well known to be haughty, to be arrogant, and to be proud. حتى إنه استخف قومه, till he spoke to his people in such a way that he would consider them to be nothing, and he looking down upon their intellects. وقال لهم إنه رب, he said to them that he was a lord for them. وليعذ بالله. فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى, and he said to them, I am your Lord, the Most High. Pharaoh said this. How far over the top is that as a statement? I am your Lord. Not I am a Lord. I am your Lord, the Most High. He claimed specific attributes that are exclusive to Allah, the Most High. فَأَطَاعُوهُ, and with that claim they obeyed him. فَجَاءَهُمْ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ بِالْآيَاتِ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. So then Moses came to them. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, with clear signs. لَكِنَّهُمْ كَذَّبُوا, however, they rejected him. وَأَرَاهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى آيَةً, and so Allah the Most High allowed them to see a sign, an ayah. كَانُوا يَفْتَخِرُونَ بِمَا يُضَادُّ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ مُوسَى. They used to brag about their proficiency in a matter that was in opposition to what Musa had. The reality of Musa and his miracles. Their magic was of a like nature, but in opposition to that. وَهُوَ السِّحْرِ, it was magic. Musa didn't come with magic. Musa came with miracles and signs from Allah, which outdid the magic of the magicians of Pharaoh's court. فَجَمَعُوا لِمُوسَى عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, so they gathered together for Musa, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. كُلَّ السَّحَرَةِ فِي مَصَرِ, all of the capable magicians of Egypt. وَاجْتَمَعُوا وَأَلْقَوا الْحِبَالَ وَالْعَصِيِّ, they all came together and cast down their ropes and their sticks. وَأَلْقَوْا عَلَيْهَا السِّحْرَ, and they put their magic, they cast their magic on their ropes and their sticks. فَصَارَ النَّاسُ يُشَاهِدُونَ هَذِهِ الْحِبَالَ وَالْعَصِيَّ, so the people would now witness these sticks and ropes. وَكَأَنَّهَا حَيَّاتٌ وَثَعَابِينُ, as if they were snakes, large and small kinds of snakes. وَرُهِبَ النَّاسُ, and the people were frightened and scared. كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, as Allah the Most High had said in description of that event. وَاسْتَرْهَبُوهُمْ وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ, and they, the magicians, scared the people, sought to frighten the people as they came with this mighty or great kind of magic. The 116th verse of Surah Al-A'raf. حَتَّى إِنَّ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, so much so that Musa, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, أَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفًا, he felt fear within his own self. And he's the prophet and messenger from Allah. لِأَنَّهُ شَاهَدَ أَنَّ كُلَّ الْجَوِّ حَوْلَهُ تَعَابِينَ, that the entire surrounding area all around him was all snakes. تُرِيدُ أَن تَلْتَهِمَ مَا تُقَابِلُهُ, snakes that wanted to devour everything in their paths. فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَى مُوسَى أَنْ أَلْقِ عَصَاكَ, so Allah revealed a message to Musa, to Moses, to cast down your staff, your stick. فَأَلْقَى الْعَصَى, so he cast down his stick. فالتهمت جميع هذه الحياة, and it devoured all of those apparent snakes that were from the ropes and staffs of the magicians. وهذا من آيات الله. This is one of the signs and miracles of Allah. إذ إن الحية كما هو معروف, as a snake, something that is known to the people, a snake, ليست بذات الكبر لكي تأكل هذا. One snake is not of such a large size that it would devour an entire valley of snakes into its body. وكان هذا يذهب بخارا. And this is one understanding that some of the scholars mention, that the snakes, when they were eaten by this one snake, that is what Allah Ta'ala brought from the staff of Musa, that they became smoke, and that they did not have any weight or any mass, that they were taken away as smoke. إِذَا أَكَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْحِبَالَ وَالْعَصِيِ. Once that snake ate these ropes and staffs, فَالسَّحَرَةُ رَأَوْا أَمْرًا أَدْهَشَهُمْ. The magicians saw a matter that totally outdid them. وَلَمْ يَمْلِكُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا. So they couldn't hold themselves back from believing. They had to believe because of what they had seen. They couldn't hold themselves back. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ إِيمَانًا تَامًا. With that, not only belief, but firm and complete iman, complete faith. And Allah Ta'ala described that event saying, وَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ. أُلْقِيَ means they were thrown down. So the magicians were thrown down into prostration, as if something threw them down. The Shaykh is going to mention that here. That's the 120th verse of Surah Al-A'raf. وَتَأَمَّلْ قَوْلَهُ تَعَالَى. Think carefully. Contemplate the statement of Allah the Most High. وَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ. And the magicians were pushed down or cast down into prostration. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ سَجَدُوا. Allah didn't say they made sajda. كَأَنَّ شَيْئًا اضْطَرَّهُمْ إِلَى السُّجُودِ. As if there was something pushing them or forcing them into prostration. كَأَنَّهُمْ سَجَدُوا بِغَيْرِ اخْتِيَارٍ. As if they made prostration without even it being a choice for them. لِقُوَّةِ مَا رَأَوْا مِنَ الْآيَةِ الْعَظِيمَةِ. Because of the strength of what they saw in that magnificent miracle. وَمَعَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْبَيِّنَةِ الْوَاضِحَةِ. And along with this clear and manifest sign, عَلَى صِدْقِ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that proved the honesty and truthfulness of the Prophet Musa, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ فِرْعَوْنُ. Fir'aun, Pharaoh, did not believe. بَلْ قَالْ. Instead he said, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَشِرْذِمَةٌ قَلِيلُونَ. These are just a small number of people. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَنَا لَغَائِلُونَ. They are people who have hatred and animosity for us. They are angry with us. That's from Surah Ash-Shu'ara, the 54th and 55th verses. فَهَمَّ بِأَنْ يَهْدِمَ عَلَى مُوسَى وَمَنْ مَعَهُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And so they decided that they are going to deal with or do away with or harm Musa and those with him of the believers. فَأَمَرَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى أَنْ يَخْرُجَ مِنْ مَصَرٍ إِلَى جِهَةٍ مَشْرَقٍ. So Allah ordered Moses, Musa, to exit, to leave Egypt to the eastern side, on the side of the Red Sea, نحو البحر الأحمر, on the side of the Red Sea. فامتثل أمر الله. So he did as Allah ordered. وخرج من مصر إلى هذه الناحية. And so he went and left Egypt to this side of the city. فتبعهم فرعون بجنوده على حناق. And so Pharaoh and his troops followed them in severe anger for them. يريد أن يقضي على موسى وقومه. He wanted to do away with Moses and his people. فلما وصلوا إلى البحر. And once they reached the Red Sea, قال قوم موسى له. The followers of Moses said to him, إنا لمدركون. We have been caught. And that's from Surah Ash-Shu'ara. He said, قال كلا. He said, no. No, not like that. يعني لن ندرك. We have not been caught. إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. With me is my Lord and He is going to guide me. The 62nd verse of الشعراء. فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يَضْرِبَ بِعَصَاهُ الْبَحْرُ. So Allah ordered him to strike the ocean. الْبَحْرُ الَّذِي عَرْضُهُ مَسَافَةٌ طَوِيلَةٌ. That ocean which has a huge size. فَضَرَبَ الْبَحْرُ. So he struck the ocean. فَانْفَلَقَ الْبَحْرُ إِثْنَيْ عَشَرَ طَرِيقًا. So the ocean opened up into 12 different pathways. وَصَارَتْ قِطَعُ الْمَاءِ كَأَنَّهَا جِبَالٌ. And so water became like mountains on the sides of the pathways. وَصَارَتْ هَذِهِ الطُّرُقُ الَّتِي كَانَتْ رَيًّا مِنَ الْمَاءِ. These pathways that were pathways of water, وَطِينًا زَلَقَ. They were dirt or mixed with clay, mixed with mud, right? They were done away with. صَارَتْ طَرِيقًا يَبِسًا. They were now a clear, dry pathway. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the permission of Allah, فِي لَحْظَةٍ, in one instant. فَدَخَلَ مُوسَى وَقَوْمُهُ عَابِرِينَ مِنْ إِفْرِيقِيَّ إِلَىٰ آسِيَا. So Moses and his people entered into those pathways, passing through where the ocean had been, leaving the continent of Africa and going to the continent of Asia. مِنْ طَرِيقِ الْبَحْرِ, through this body of water. فَلَمَّا تَكَامَلُوا دَاخِلِينَ وَخَارِجِينَ لِلنَّاحِيَةِ الشَّرْقِيَّةِ دَخَلَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَقَوْمُهُ. Once they had entered in entirely, right, and begun to come out the other side, then Pharaoh and his people entered. فَلَمَّا تَكَامَلُوا لِلدُّخُولِ. And once they had all entered entirely, أَمَرَ اللَّهُ الْبَحْرَ فَانْطَبَقَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah ordered the ocean to now crush down upon them. فَلَمَّا أَدْرَكَ فِرْعَوْنَ الْغَرْقُ أَعْلَنَ قَالَ. And once Pharaoh had reached the point that he knew he was going to die of drowning, he said, announcing, آمَنْتُ إِنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ. I believe, or I confess, or I say, that there is no one worthy of worship other than the one that the children of Israel have believed in. وَتَأَمَّلْ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَقُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. Think carefully how he didn't say, I believe in Allah. بَلْ قَالْ آمَنْتُ بِالَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلَ. I have believed in the one that the children of Israel believed in. لِمَاذَا. Why did he say this? إِذْلَالًا لِنَفْسِهِ. Out of humility for himself. حَيْثُ كَانَ يُنْكِرُ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَيُهَاجِمَهُمْ. He used to detest this worship and this submission when Bani Israel did it. He used to rebuke them for it and forbid them from it. فَأَصْبَحَ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ. At the time of death, يُقِرُّ بِأَنَّهُ تَبِعٌ لَهُمْ. He confessed and he acknowledged that now he will be a follower of Bani Israel. وَأَنَّهُ يَمْشِي خَلْفَهُمْ. And that he's going to follow after them now. وَلَكِنْ مَاذَا قِيلَ لَهُ. However, what is said to him at this time? الآن. At this time, now, تُؤْمِنُ بِالَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ. At this time now, you're going to believe in the one that Bani Israel believed in. وَأَنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And now you claim to be one of the Muslims. وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَبَلُ. And you were in disobedience from before. وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. And you are from those who caused corruption. The 91st verse. فَلَمْ تُقْبَلْ تَوْبَتُهُ. So his repentance was not accepted. لِأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَتُبْ إِلَّا حِينَ حَضَرَهُ الْمَوْتِ. He only repented at the time of death, when he knew for sure that he was dying. وَالتَّوْبَةُ بَعَدَ حُضُورِ الْمَوْتِ لَا تَنْفَعْ. Repentance after death comes, meaning after the signs of clear, imminent death come, will not be of any avail. كما قال الله تعالى. Just as Allah the Most High has said, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ. And tawbah is not repentance is not really for those who continue in sinful behavior until death reaches them, and then they say, "Now I repent." From Surah An-Nisa, the 18th verse. لا تنفع التوبة إذا حضر الموت. When death approaches, then there is no repentance. نسأل الله تعالى أن يمن علينا بتوبة قبل الموت. We ask Allah that He favor us by granting us success and repentance before death. ولكن الله قال, however, Allah تعالى said, فاليوم ننجيك ببدنك لتكون لمن خلفك آية. On this day regarding Fir'aun, Allah said, we're going to preserve you or bring your body to salvation. Meaning we're going to save your body so that you could be a sign for those after you. Listen to the correct tafsir of the verse, not the fake modern tafsir of the verse. Pay attention. You've heard this verse mentioned in light of modern findings, right? That Maurice Bakai claims to have been researching on one of those mummies of Egypt, that he was told this is the Pharaoh of the story of Musa. And Maurice Bakai, a scientist, said he found deposits of salt in the throat area, which means he died of drowning in salt water. And so he says in his story of how he accepted Islam that this is what led him to accept Islam. We say, watch out for this premature affirmation of a miracle before the rug is pulled out from under you and you say, I've come to Islam because of this. And then someone says, actually, after investigation, we cannot actually conclude that with any type of certainty. The reality is, the body of Fir'aun today, it's not known which of the bodies of these mummies is the Fir'aun, or which body that's been preserved or not preserved or whatever is the one of the Fir'aun, the Pharaoh of the time of Musa. We don't know that. We don't have knowledge of that. We don't have any certainty in that, so as to build anything legitimate on top of that. Yet people swear it's true, and people love to mention it, like this fantastic miracle. Yet scientists will say that is just a doubtful matter. That's something that may or may not be true. And we don't want to say something is a scientific miracle proven by the Quran, and then it's actually not found, or it's not found to be true as you think it is. So the Shaykh says, نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ. We save you through your body. We have preserved your body. لَا بِرُوحِكَ. Not your soul. Meaning he died, but his body was not done away with in the ocean. الرُّوحُ فَارَقَتِ الْبَدَنِ. The soul split away from the body. Meaning the death occurred. His death occurred. لَكِنَّ الْبَدَنَ بَقِيَ طَافِيًا عَلَى الْمَاءِ. However, his body remained floating on the water. Right? What's the benefit of that? وَبَيَّنَ اللَّهُ الْحِكْمَةِ. Allah clarify why that was done. The reason behind that, لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً. So that you would be a sign for those after you. لِأَنَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. Here's the reason. Because the children of Israel, قَدْ أَرْعَبَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنَ. Fir'aun had terrorized them. فَلَوْ لَمْ يَتَبَيَّنْ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ غَرِقْ بِنَفْسِهِ. Had it not been clear with visual proof that Pharaoh himself had truly died in that event, had that not taken place for them to give them surety, imagine a tyrant that everyone is afraid of, and it's just said that he died and no one saw the body, versus we saw the body floating on the water, we saw him dead. This is the reassurance that Bani Israel needed at that time, to rest assured that what? They are free of Pharaoh now. So he says, لَكَانَتْ أَوْهَامُهُمْ تَذْهَبُ كُلَّ مَذْهَبُ. Without this, then they would have feared. They would have thought about different matters, and what if he didn't die, and what if he's still alive, and what if he's still coming for us? Every type of conjecture could have still come to them had they not witnessed his body dead on the surface of the water. لَعَلَّهُ لَمْ يَغْرَقْ. They could say, perhaps he didn't die. لَعَلَّهُ يَخْرُجْ إِلَيْنَا مِن نَاحِيَةٍ أُخْرَى. Perhaps he's going to come at us from a different angle. فَأَقَرَّ اللَّهُ أَعْيُنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. So he gave them cooling to their eyes. He gave them relaxation. بِأَنْ شَاهَدُوا جِسْمَهُ. They would witness, be eyewitnesses to his body. غَارِقًا فِي الْمَاءِ. Drowned in the water. لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً. so as to be a sign for those after you. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. We've gone over our time by quite a lot. We ask Allah Ta'ala to excuse us, and we'll stop at this time, sending salat and salam on the finest of creation, our Prophet Muhammad, and likewise that of his family and companions. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And if there is an opportunity for a correction to a mistake I made, or a comment or question that's beneficial to our topic, we can add it on at this time. Tuqbal tawbah ma lam tughargir. Tawbah is accepted so long as the soul doesn't come out of the throat of a person. Yeah, and how do you harmonize between Allah rejecting the repentance of Pharaoh and his acceptance of Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his mission? He would go to people on their deathbeds. That's what you mean to ask. Have you opened up his chest? Yeah, were you able to open up his chest to see that that was hypocritical for sure? Right? We understand from the story of Usama killing the man on the battlefield that what? We take the people and we accept from them based on what they say openly. If they hide matters and they are hypocrites hiding in the ranks of the Muslims to get some benefit, that's on them. But we interact with them based on what they say. And this gives us clean hearts. This gives us easy interactions. I deal with you based on the apparent that I see. I don't need to investigate you. I don't have to go behind the surface and or under the surface and beyond what's apparent. I deal with you with what's apparent. So even if on a battlefield someone accepts Islam in a military battle established between Muslims and non-Muslims, done the real jihad with the Muslim ruler in established combat to spread the word of La ilaha illallah, and the enemy combatant says, right at the time he's about to be killed, La ilaha illallah, it's not that you would be foolish and just turn your back on him and let him kill you, and he's really doing that as a trick to save his life. But at the same time, you take your precaution, but his life is protected. As an enemy combatant right now, his life is protected with that statement. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not accept that from Usama. Now, but what's the connection here to the tawbah at the end of the life? That supports the tawbah at the end of one's life, where it's not certain if he's going to die. He had hopes that he would say La ilaha illallah and live. That case, he wasn't certain that he was going to die. He said La ilaha illallah, hoping to survive. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. However, there is this issue here, this clash, this apparent clash of, what about the, you know, going to people who are passing away? Laqinu mawtakum La ilaha illallah. Remind your dying to say La ilaha illallah. Meaning, what if someone has been between Islam and Kufr for a long time, and now they're dying and they say, I need a Muslim by my side, I wish to repent, I wish to make things right. Do we say, no, it's too late? Sorry? The doctor said you have like a day left to live, you have a death sentence, so I can't do anything for you. Or do you go to them and you stand with them and you remind them to single out Allah with worship and try to offer an act of worship, a salah, and try to repent and so on? That's what you do, right? Then the reality of, was that too close to death to be accepted from them? That's with Allah, not with us. That's with their judge. It may very well be that we bury him as a Muslim and we accept from him that he said the Shahada and lived a day or two after he knew he was dying of some, you know, accident that had happened. And so we treated him as a Muslim because of the apparent actions that he expressed. And the reality with Allah is that it's unacceptable. It could very well be the case. We're not accountable for that. That's beyond our scope. That could be the case. Right? Just like a person could be with us for 30 years and 40 years, our brother, side by side, and none of us is safe from hypocrisy. And he's a hypocrite with Allah, and Allah won't accept him or admit him into paradise. The realities of the people are with Allah. Our interactions with them are only based on what's apparent. So it's not a blame on us that we embraced a brother, our brother in Islam, but he was a true hypocrite in his heart who goes to hell in the hereafter. It's not a blame on us. We're doing what we're supposed to do. He showed us khayr, he showed us goodness, so we accepted him as our brother and treated him with all brotherly rights, even if he is a full-blown hypocrite that Allah Ta'ala will identify in the hereafter and deny entrance to paradise. They say, I want to be a Muslim and I want to make things right. Yeah, absolutely. It may be that that was too close to their death and it's unacceptable to Allah. We don't know, but we act in accordance with what we are supposed to do. So long as there's a chance, we do our best to help the person, rectify his affair, single out his Lord with worship, denounce false deities right at that time, and we pray that he's successful with Allah. We pray that Allah Ta'ala accepts from him. We beg Allah for mercy for him and for forgiveness. We don't say for sure he's in paradise now. Very important part of our creed, right, is that even when a person dies in one of the best situations ever, he goes on Hajj, he dies, you know, at the Kaaba, in sujood, prostrating, in ihram, you know, leaving dunya behind him and all of that. He dies like this. With all these great signs, we don't say this is a man from the people of paradise. We can't say that, right? Because we are not the ones who can judge those souls and place them in paradise or not. We can only speak about someone decisively, conclusively, when we have a text of revelation. Pharaoh, where is he? He's in the hellfire. It's not my reasoned deduction. It's, you know, textually based. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the companion, he's in paradise. Because the Prophet and Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named him as from the people of paradise, with text. Without that, I'm not free to speak. I'm not free to speak. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, can I say he's in paradise? I say rahimahullah when I mention him. Great Imam of the 3rd century, one of the finest, most exemplary scholars that embodied the teachings of Islam in an exemplary way and fought and struggled for the religion. We say about him, rahimahullah. I hope that Allah has mercy on him. I beg Allah for mercy for that man. I don't say he is in paradise. And likewise, we don't make jazm, we don't specify that any non-Muslim or disbeliever is in the fire. We say in general the Muslims are in paradise. Disbelievers are in the fire. But individuals, we leave alone the rulings on individuals as a matter of our creed, as a matter of our beliefs.
So they say La ilaha illallah. Mm-hmm. But your aqidah is kufr.
Okay.
So if one of them was to die, to say La ilaha illallah, would they have to...
They have to renounce whatever is that nullifies their Islam in the first place. So repeating La ilaha illallah for someone who has nullified it, someone who calls upon a saint, someone who worships other than Allah with any act of worship, someone who nullifies his Islam by mockery or by something, when he says La ilaha illallah, he has to denounce what nullified his Islam. Specifically, that is a requirement upon him. Absolutely. The one who knows that is required to say, denounce what you used to do. Denounce what you used to worship. That's the meaning of al-kufr bil-taghut. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْتَاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ إِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Whoever denounces that which is worship besides Allah and he believes in Allah, then he grabs hold of the most trustworthy handhold. Well, you have to realize Pharaoh had a prophet, two prophets, Musa and Harun, at least, Moses and Aaron, sent to him specifically with beautiful exhortations and admonitions. Musa was ordered to be especially careful in his word choices when dealing with this tyrant, this terrible disbelieving tyrant. He had the very best dawah from the most capable of all prophets and messengers come to him. So out of anyone who deserves to be inwardly absolutely convinced, you know, in the truth of his position and the reality of his Lord, then Pharaoh was absolutely inwardly convinced, as he had a right to be. However, it's not about being inwardly convinced. It's about confessing that and acknowledging that. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ